Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Nintendo Fanboys. And Steven is going to regale us with his tale of that game Noxicom or something like that. Tell us how glorious it was.
Close. Yeah, so the last time we did the podcast, I did not exactly have glorious thoughts on Noxicom extension. And now, since then, like the last time we spoke, I wasn't even sure if I was going to play it again. But now I've actually beat it. I'm 25 hours in. And it's weird because the way I'm going to describe it, I think it's a horribly flawed, amazing game, if that makes any sense. Like there's something about it, its design, and I've seen the Twitter account and I've seen a few Steam posts that the developers have made, and it's clear they wanted to make a difficult game. Like they wanted to make a challenging game, and that's fine. Having said that, like I've now beaten the game. I haven't even come close of fainting once, like having my entire party wiped out. However, what's difficult about this game is not necessarily like the battles themselves. It's the fact that after every battle, you need to run back to, a healing center and heal your Noxicom. You always, because after every battle, especially when you're battling like trainers, and you're going to be battling trainers a lot because they're basically unavoidable. If you run into their sight, you need to fight them. And after like 20 minutes, they reset. So you need to fight them again if you run to their paths. But this will be patched up soon. The patch is already available on Steam, but the Switch patch and the PS4 patch should be up later this week, which will be the second patch. So they're keeping this game updated, and they did fix one of the biggest issues I had with this game, was that when one of your Noxicom would faint, the other one that you would throw back would automatically get attacked right away. Now that's fixed. It's patched, so that's a lot more balanced. It makes a lot more sense now. But like I said, it's just the way they made this difficult was to force you to grind at several points in this adventure. Usually in a JRPG, you might need to grind like a few times during a 60-hour adventure or a 100-hour adventure. You might like have to grind like at the beginning and then at the middle point and another one if you want. It's not always necessary, but most times you need to grind a few hours. In this one, you have to grind like I'd say of the 25 hours I've spent in this game, maybe close to 10 of those was grinding. Because the way it's designed, there are points during the storyline, let's call them checkpoints, where when you reach that, they automatically bump the level of the wild Noxicom and the level of the trainer Noxicom by like 5-6 levels every time. And the way they work is depending on how leveled you are. So if you're at a certain level, the Noxicom you'll face will be at a certain level. So it doesn't really matter how much you grind. These Noxicom will be at that level. So you can't really gain an advantage. And with that second patch, it was supposed to fix that. And it did a bit. So the levels were reduced. But it also did something else, which was before, it didn't really matter the level of the Noxicom you were facing. You would get a certain amount of XP. But now, if you're facing off a low-level Noxicom, you're getting less XP. So it kind of the levels of the wild Noxicom and the trainer Noxicom were indeed reduced, but they did reduce the number of XP you would gain. So it kind of, I did not really notice that much of a difference from the second patch. And having said that, like I think that's gonna be it for me complaining about this game, because I really adored the rest of it. Like the battle system, I think is fantastic. It's basically what I want with Pokemon. It's like, this is the competitive Pokemon battle system, but in a single-player game. Like, there's no cheating in this game. I do wish that they would not allow you to use potions and stuff like that, and the same for the trainers, although I don't think the trainers use them much. But the thing is, now having said that, I don't think this game is beatable without actually using potions and stuff like that during some of these battles, because some of these boss battles are brutal, and then sometimes they face you against another one right after when you don't have a chance to heal in between. So I don't think you can actually win this game without using these potions and whatnot, unless you're like super godly or grind to level 99 before you even start those hard to defeat boss battles. But yeah, the battle system is really good. I like the stamina system. Again, it should be tweaked a little bit, because like I said, it's not necessarily fun to have to always go back to healing centers after like every battle. That should, but in the third patch they're gonna make it so that after every battle you regain a small amount of HP and stamina. So again, it looks like in a few months this game will be patched up and balanced, and it should be a lot better. So the experience people will get when they play Nexomon in a few months or in a few years will be way better than what I had when I started this game and what people are having now. Like they're constantly updating it, which is a good thing, and I think this series has a lot of potential, because it is clearly, there's going to be a sequel to this. Of course, it always depends if this sells well, if the sequel will be made or not, but there is a sequel plan, and I could see myself becoming a huge fan of Nexomon in the future. And the best thing about this game by far, and the battle system and the Nexomon was fun, catching whatever, it's all fun, but it's the storyline. This storyline is just fantastic, and I'm not used to this at all, because even with Pokemon, and even though I think Pokemon people are a bit too hard on Pokemon's story, because I'm not gonna lie, I've enjoyed some games, especially Pokemon Sun and Moon, and even the original Gold and Silver. I had a lot of fun with the storyline in those games, and yes, they're simple, and yes, they're a bit on the kid-friendly side, but you have to remember that their audience is children, and was children back then, as most of us grew up as children playing Pokemon, and now we're adults, and so that's why we think they're a bit childish. But still, I think the Pokemon storyline is a bit underrated in my opinion, but Nexomon just blows Pokemon out of the water when it comes to storyline. Like, this is a serious tone, it's a very dark storyline, but what I like is that instead of being depressing like Last of Us, for example, they add a lot of humor, and very, very clever humor. Like, I think you mentioned in your Paper Mario Tots Origami King that you had many laughed out loud moments in that game.
Yep.
I think Nexomon blows Paper Mario out of the water with its dialogue. Like, seriously, I think you would laugh out loud way more with this game. And I haven't played, to be fair, the Origami King all the way through, but I've played many Paper Mario games and Mario and Luigi games, and yes, I found them funny, but this is a whole different level. Like, there's a character in this game that breaks the fourth wall constantly, and it's seriously, like, I've never played something like this. Like, it's just like, at one point there's this character you meet, and he's just a random character that he acts as a translator, because you go to a city where the people are now morons and they speak in gibberish tones and you can't understand them, but he can translate for you. And then you later on, you go back to that city and he just appears, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna stick with you guys for a while, because I need to make as much screen time as possible if I want to be in the sequel. So it's stuff like that keeps happening, and it's just hilarious. And I didn't find that it detracted from the dark tone of the story. I just thought it really added to it and made it a lot more fun. And like I said, after playing like Last of Us 2 recently, which was like depressing, like this was fun to have both sides of the coin. Like, having a dark but interesting storyline and then add some humor here and there and some clever characters. Like, I just really fell in love with the story and the world and the artwork. Like, this is a very beautiful game. Like, it might be in 2D, but it's just, like, there's some areas that look just wonderful, I thought. And, yeah, like, so overall, really flawed experience, but man, is it coming out satisfying at the end. And even the post-game stuff, really fun. Like, basically, you're going around and catching all these legendaries, like, that would have made the main game easy if you could have had access to them before, but now you can go ahead and catch them all, and it's, like, probably adds another 10, 15 hours if you want. And then, of course, if you want to capture and complete the decks, like, you're looking at, like, another 30 hours. And it's stuff like that. I don't think I'm going to do that, because unlike Pokemon, like, there's no home, there's no reason to do so, in my opinion, because you're probably not going to be able to carry these Nexomon forever into the other games like you can in Pokemon, which is the big selling feature for me. Like, I still have the same Pokemon I've had since the DS days, and you can technically have the same Pokemon you had since the GBA days, and even now with the Virtual Console and 3DS. Like, I have some Pokemon I've used in Red, Blue, Yellow, and Gold and Silver and all that stuff, so that's really fun for me. But they also are working on DLC, and so there's going to be an expansion at some point. Not sure if it's going to be paid DLC or free DLC. I'm thinking it's going to be free DLC, but if it's paid, like, they probably have my money by now, because I thought this was a fantastic experience. I'm still playing it, even though, like I said, I have no intention of completing the decks. It's just a game I'm not ready to say goodbye to yet. But yeah, like, my thoughts on Nexomon extension since the last podcast have been flipped completely. I think if you're a fan of Pokemon or monster taming games, like, you should check this one out. If you're willing to overlook its grindiness, like, it's serious grindiness, and it's a difficult game but manageable if you're an experienced player of Pokemon. I didn't have any problem with anything. You just need to keep, like, a nice dose of healing items and whatnot, and grind from time to time. But yeah, man, this amazing game, really recommended for fans of the genre.
Nice. I like the like 180 you you did, which was nice. So you did, like, a complete, like, reversal of your original opinion, which is interesting. That's interesting to hear, because that doesn't happen often with you, where you'll have, you know, like, your initial impression basically usually sticks and you get fed up and then you just, like, walk away. So it's good that they at least released a patch to, like, help things out a little bit. And yeah, so good. Awesome. So what's next in the pipeline?
I have no clue. Like, right now I'm still playing Nexomon. And sometimes, like, yesterday or the day before, I went to my Animal Crossing village and, like, cleaned out all the weeds, which there was, like, 30 of. And then I sometimes go into Pokemon and check a few raids. But that's about it. I want to go back and finish Bloodstain. So I'm going to have to do that. For some reason, I'm not motivated to do so. I don't know why. I've hit a wall, and that happens sometimes. But I'll try to get back into it and then maybe download Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon 2. And then I don't know. I'm waiting on the Pokemon DLC, which should be November. So I don't know what I'm going to do after that. Maybe I'm going to try that Genesis game, Shining in the Darkness. Maybe something like that. We'll see.
Yeah, so I think I'm officially done with Animal Crossing now. I couldn't even make it a full year, which is sad. But it's gotten just boring, to be honest. It's like there's no allure for me to even, like this month there's what, like a handful of fish and stuff.
Did you get them or
no? I haven't played in like 3 weeks now.
That's the only thing that's keeping me back, because I think that's why I love Pokemon so much. I like collecting stuff, so I like catching the fish and the bugs and the sea creatures, but it like now I'm missing, after I've done the month, and I'm missing 2 fish, 2 bugs, and I think like 10 sea creatures. So, like, I don't know what I'm gonna do when that ends, but I'm looking forward, because I'm imagining that in October they'll have a nice Halloween event. I'm hoping for anyway, so we'll see.
But yeah, for me, I just think it's, I think I'm done. I think that's it, which sucks. It really does suck.
Yeah, because there's no really reason to go visit your village anymore. Like,
no, that was, yeah, the
fun
exactly.
Part of Uleaf was I always wanted to go see your shenanigans in your town, but now I'm that's not even, it. Like, there's no point.
No, but that's it. There's no point. And the collecting, we're talking about like 2 or 3 bugs this month, you know, 2 or 3 fish. Like, it's coming to the end, which is not like, I just need one day. I can do that in one day, like one sitting, but like literally one physical day. So it's just, I don't know. I think I'm done, which kind of sucks. But speaking of Nintendo, there was a lot of news just recently that we should, you know, should at least talk a little bit about. So I think we can start with the, what do you think of the Game & Watch that they announced there?
Ah, it looks cool. It's a nice little niche item, I guess. It's obviously for collectors because I don't think there's much use of a watch these days, especially a watch that size. But I guess if you want to play Mario Brothers, like, you can play it on your Switch Portable, you can play it on a 3DS, you can play it on a Game Boy Advance. There's lots of ways to play it, but I think it's a niche item. I don't have any Game & Watches, so not really for me, but for some people, I think that would be a fun item to get.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's going to be like, okay, just like you said, it's going to be a niche item. I don't want to say an NES classic, because obviously not. It's going to appeal to a much smaller audience than that. But I just think, you know, it seems to be Nintendo's thing that every year, every few years, they release some like unique hardware that's I mean, this is nothing like what the examples I just gave, but yeah, I think it's a cool little thing. Like but obviously the big news, like the biggest news to come out of that particular 35th anniversary Mario Direct or whatever it is, was obviously the two games, right? So we have the first one that they showed was, what is it? It's 3D
World,
right?
Yeah. 3D World plus Bowser's Fury.
Yeah. Yeah. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've been saying forever that I'm tired of Wii U ports, and it's still true. Like, man, they're really making us Wii U fans, like, our collections pointless.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
everything is on Switch now, and it's like, I would have rather had, to be honest, like the 3D Land series and the 3D World. Most people really love 3D World. I did not love it as much because I thought it was more multiplayer focused. And 3D Land, I thought it was just fantastic. But 3D World, I'm sure, is still a good game, a great game even. But like, I would have rather had a new game in that series. Like, why not have a Super Mario 3D World 2 or 3D Land or 3D Galaxy if they don't want to say 3D, if they don't want to give Land and World a sequel? Like, they could have made a new game that would have been much rather, like they did with Mario Maker. Instead of getting us a port of Mario Maker, we got Mario Maker 2, which I thought was way better than the alternative. So yeah, it's fun. They're adding Bowser's Fury, which we have no idea what it will be, to this as a selling point. And I'm sure not many people actually played 3D World, considering it was on Wii U, so more people would be able to play it. It's easy money for them. Like, they've repackaged New Super Mario Bros. U and New Super Luigi U last year or the year before, and it sold like gangbusters. It outsold Mario Maker 2, and they sold it as a full like $80 game, and they made tons of money on that. So the 3D series typically doesn't sell as much as the 2D stuff, but like Odyssey sold like gangbusters. So I might be wrong here. Maybe this will give 3D World a whole new life and might maybe continue the series. And like I said, lots of people actually enjoyed 3D World that year. So as for me, I thought Rayman Legends that year was way better. But again, 2D platformer versus 3D platformer, it's not exactly the same thing. But we shall see. I'm willing to give this one benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, really tired of Wii U ports. And like, it's not even the last one we're going to get this. No, actually, this one is next year. And Pikmin 3 is like in a month or two. So I'm just tired of them. Like, come on, you're sitting on this console that's selling like hotcakes. You've had many, many years to make new games. Like, what have you been doing this since then? Like,
well, that's what I really wanted to talk about with you, was that I'm actually really confused what Nintendo is doing right now. I'm actually really, truly confused by what is going on right now, because there is no 3DS anymore. So with there being no 3DS, right? Like, what the hell are all of their development studios doing? I don't get it. Like, I just don't see enough Switch games. Like, when I look at my Switch library, I don't see enough games there to justify all of the development studios they have. Like, something to me is just very off with this generation and Nintendo. Because, like, we had discussed before that, you know, with the 3DS essentially being done, that they were going to transition all their development studios solely to the Switch. And it was like, oh, wow, it's going to be like the Famicom, the early days of the Famicom before the Game Boy was released in 89. It's going to be like that all over again, where we're just going to have tons of different games. But when I look at my library, it's like, I just don't see that. And I'm much like you. Like, the more that these Wii U games get released, the more I'm left sitting here going, like, what the hell is Nintendo doing? Like, I really don't get this. And you're absolutely right that they basically just took a crap on the entire Wii U fan base. Like, we'd have to look, but what Wii U games from Nintendo remain exclusive to that platform now?
On the top of my head, man, I can name, like, Game & Wario, Nintendo Land.
Yeah, there was Star Fox at Star Fox Zero. What is it, Zero?
Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival. Thank God it's gonna stay there. Mario Tennis game that sucked, but now we have a new Mario Tennis on Switch, so that doesn't really count. I don't know, man. That's about it. That's all I can think of on the top of my head. And I'm sure there's a few less, like the Mario and Sonic games and whatnot. But actual games, actual big releases, like, I don't think there's anything left as big releases.
It's wild.
Like, Game & Wario wasn't a big release. And Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival was a terrible game. Like, there's nothing left for the Wii U.
It's weird, man. It's really weird because, like, I really truly thought that we would see tons of different games, unique games, brand new games, new IPs, because they have a massive internal studio. Like, they have so many different studios, and I'm just left looking at the big releases that are not Wii U, like, specific, and I'm, like, looking at the ones that we did get, and I'm like, there just doesn't seem to be a lot. So, I don't know, maybe I'm delusional. But the other big news, obviously, was the release of Super Mario 3D All-Stars or something like that. I don't know what the exact title is. I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I was a little surprised. I'll be honest. I was a little surprised. And maybe to, like, the people listening, you're going to be like, oh, shut up, Jared. But, like, I was a little disappointed by what it is. Like, I get that they're not going to redo, like, they're not going to remake all of these games, but I did think that a little more effort would have been put into just the collection as a whole, because really all it is just upscaled, upscaled versions of the games, and they didn't even include Super Mario Galaxy 2, which apparently is better than Super Mario Galaxy. So I was a little... Like I say, I guess I say a little disappointed with that. And I know you're not the biggest fan of the 3D Marios. So what did you think of this?
Yeah, the weird thing about this, they're saying, is it's a limited release, both physically and digitally. So it has an end date. I think it's in March. You're not going to be able to buy this game. And this has gangbusters. It's the second best-selling game on Amazon US of the year. Did you know that?
I did know that, and I also know that because of that, and this is just, by the way, this is just Nintendo artificially boosting sales in order to, you know, probably finish out the quarter on a high note because of COVID. So this is like their way of, which makes no sense considering Animal Crossing sold gangbusters, but I think this is an experiment for them to see if they can artificially. Yeah, I think that this is just...
I don't see that, because even digitally, like, it's
no,
not,
that's my point.
Digitally,
no, that's
is
my point.
So what
it's
I'm
to,
thinking,
it's an experiment.
What I'm
because there's no logic to it.
You might be right, but that's not what's going to happen. I think. I think that when these games are going to be released, stop release Super Mario 3D All Stars, not the the virtual console would be back. Like, not like, I think they're gonna stop. They're gonna put Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, Mario Galaxy, and perhaps Mario Galaxy 2, although they might do the remaster for that one, on the eShop and sold them individually at like a markup. So
maybe, okay,
that's if what they I do think that, will happen after March. Okay.
If they do that, then I'll shut up. Okay, like then I'll shut
because
up.
Because there's no logic to
stopping
the digital release of Super Mario 3D All-Stars people, because people are buying games now on the digital, on the eShop more than they are physically. So you're going to, and this is going to be a big selling game probably for, people are going to keep buying Switch for the next 3 to 4 years. And this is a game that people generally will want to buy for a long time. So
I hope you're right, because
that's what I think, because
so scared.
I don't know.
I'm so scared is that they do this and it works, right? Like if this works and they sell like 12 million units or something like that, you can bet your ass that other publishers will follow suit. And basically by creating the scarcity, it causes people to like just flood the market
it's
in order
stupid,
to
though, because people are like selling these pre-orders on eBay for like ridiculous amounts of money, and it's like these games are not going to be worth a lot, people, because this is the second best-selling game of the year on Amazon. This is going to sell millions and millions of copies physically for a game to be worth money down the line, which is a stupid investment, because that's like, really, you're not going to get many Saturn situations. Like, I've been saying that for a while. It's not, if you invest $60 and like in 10 years it's now worth $120, you made $60 in 10 years. That's a horrible investment, but whatever. People are like that. But this is going to be a game that's not going to be worth much in a few years.
No, exactly.
Because it's going to be flooded. Markets are flooded. It's the second best-selling game on Amazon of the year.
Exactly.
It's sold more than Last of Us 2. The only game it didn't sell as much is Animal Crossing, which has sold 20 million copies already. Like, that's ridiculous. So
I hope you're right.
The physical, I would understand if they would say it's limited because they want to sell more physical copies, booster, whatever you said. But then to limit people from buying the digital game after March, it tells me that they have another strategy in place. And I think they're going to release those three games on the eShop, because you have to remember, on the Wii, you could, and the Wii U, you could buy Mario 64, you could buy like Ocarina of Time, you could buy some Wii games on there, even on the Wii U, full games like Skyward Sword is available on the Wii U digitally. So I'm imagining that they're prepping up to release those games on the eShop eventually, and slowly, instead of having a virtual console where they release like 30 games a month at the beginning, they're going to release a few games every week to boost sales. And I think that's the smart thing in my book, but Nintendo doesn't always do the smart thing. So that's, because for me, that's the only logical explanation of this strategy.
Well, we're going to find out. So you ruined my plan here, because I was planning on talking about that after. What do you think of the actual game itself now?
The actual game, like I said, Tim asked me about it. I'm not a big 3D guy, platformer in general. I love Sunshine. Out of the three games, Sunshine is the only one I've completed, and it's the only 3D Mario game besides Odyssey. Odyssey I've completed, but Odyssey I just played to the finish, had a fun time, and never touched it again. Sunshine, 100% of it, which is rare for me because, like I said, I'm not a 3D platformer guy. For whatever reason, I don't know, I'm just not that into them. But Mario 64, I've tried. I cannot play that game for more than an hour. I don't know why. Even back in the day, I used to rent a 64 with it and would never play it for long. I don't know why. Galaxy, I really like Galaxy 2. The problem with Galaxy 1 is it has the open world design with the hub, and Galaxy 2 is just levels. So you played those 3D games. It's kind of like 3D World and 3D Land. It's like it's levels. And that's what I liked about Galaxy 2. But Galaxy, if I remember correctly, the first one wasn't like that. It was set where you had to explore, and kind of like Odyssey in a way. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not thinking I'm going to be playing these much, but I do have a 5-year-old who's a huge fan of Mario. So maybe he'll live date. So I'm going to be getting this. I'm going to try Mario 64. I'm going to give it one last shot. But we'll see if my if I can bring my five-year-old to play these games.
Well, let me know. Keep me posted on that. I'll be very interested. For me, it will depend on time. It really will depend on time. Because of this new Saturn Day you know, series that we're running, and like the way I want to do it is any game that I cover, I really want to like play it to completion. So like I've got a couple of things in the works, but that's why like I said, like with Animal Crossing, like any free moment I have, I'm sort of just saying, I'll screw it, I'm just gonna record some footage. I'm about halfway through Panzer Dragoon Saga right now, but I decided to switch it up, so I'm gonna do Tri-Rush Depi first. So basically we'll see what's happening. I'm really enjoying my time right now with this. So the other big news, obviously, was the surprise announcement of a new Hyrule Warriors game. What did you think of that?
Yeah, it's Age of Calamity, I believe the subtitle is.
Yep.
Honestly, it looks fantastic. I don't know about the actual game. Like, I adored Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U. But then that year or the year before, I also played Dragon Quest Heroes, the first one. So I'm a bit burned out on Warriors-style games. I'm not sure if, like, my plan for this one. I think what happened with Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U is there's just too much content. And that's not a bad thing. But for me, it was. It's just when you give me so much stuff to do, I just get overwhelmed. So I don't know what I'll do. Because at the beginning of Hyrule Warriors, I was finishing each mission on each difficulty and trying to play as many characters as possible. And eventually I was just burned out, and I finished the whole game on the easy mode. And just, I think that's probably what will happen with Calamity Wars or Age of Calamity, because like it's a series that for me gets old fast, but I know there's a very hardcore following for the style of Dynasty Warriors game, and people love them, so I'm sure for them this is fantastic. But the story does look very interesting, visuals look nice, so I'm definitely going to be checking this out, and it did pique my curiosity. But I do find it surprising that this seems to be their big holiday title this year. So of course, yep, I expect this to sell a lot, but still, it's a Warriors game, and that seems to be the marquee title for this holiday. So that's weird. Of course, they're going to have the second Pokemon DLC, but like I would have expecting something a bit more, I don't know what the word is here, a bit more like inviting for me. But still, this will do. It's better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, for me, like I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be really interesting. What I'm really looking to see, okay, and this is going to be hilarious, is I have a feeling that, you know, the story that we were told in the game, I have a feeling it's basically going to be just a rehash of that. Like, I think if you're expecting story from Nintendo there, we'll see. And I know people listen to this and be like, no, don't say that and whatever, but I just have a feeling that it's basically going to be a collection of battles that led up to the failure there, you know, where they couldn't stop him, and then Zelda does what she does. Like, I think that's basically the story. Like, I think we already know the story, and that it's just going to be like filling in the gaps with battles.
You're right, but at the same time, this is developed by Koei Tecmo, right? So
right,
there
but
is
a, watch
the,
it.
The problem
no, watch
is
the
it
direct.
Might be limited. Because
that's
Nintendo
right,
doesn't
they
like
said,
to give freedom of their IPs to other people and even themselves. Like, it's been said that the Paper Mario, who did Paper Mario? Was it Intelligent Systems or whoever did it? They were limited in what they could do with the franchise, and it's like a Nintendo-owned developer, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe they're
No.
So
but,
it's like you're right. The only thing is maybe since it's Koei Tecmo, they'll actually concentrate on the story more. Like from the trailer, it looked promising on that front, but you're right, like the Nintendo is not necessarily the biggest story focused developer out there, and it's like for me playing a Warriors game like that, like I would probably prefer to have some kind of a story in there to warrant well, we'll see. Bashing of A buttons and whatnot. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. The reason why I say it is because I thought it was very telling that they singled out that the Zelda team not only helped with graphics, but they said every single line of dialogue. So I'm like, okay, well, if basically the Zelda team wrote the story, I'm like, well, don't expect much. It's not going to be it's not going to be like Skyrim or something like that. But we'll see. I mean, obviously, like, I'm happy that at least now we have an idea of what their tentpole release is going to be for the holidays. I'm with you that it's kind of jarring that it's a Warriors game. But obviously, this is going to sell gangbusters just because it's set in Breath of the Wild's like world. The other thing I thought was really cool was on Amazon and eBay and places like that, the original Switch version anyway, I think it was called the definitive version of Hyrule Warriors, has like sold out worldwide and the prices skyrocketed. So it went from like a $30 game to like a $90 game after about 4 hours from the direct. I thought that was hilarious.
It makes sense because after the direct or the trailer, one of my instincts was like, man, I actually want to play Hyrule Warriors now. So I have the Switch version. I should go back and play it again because I played it a few hours. I never did actually because my kids were here and did not want to play that game, but yeah, it makes sense. I actually had that impulse to go play Hyrule Warriors again after that trailer, so I could see why people would want to experience it.
Well, they certainly did. So I got a real kick out of that when I saw the sales and stuff. I was like, the people are funny. People are really, really funny. Was there any other news that was released that I'm missing?
Maybe like we didn't cover the entire Mario Direct. Like they released Super Mario All-Stars on the SNES app, which is great, I guess, if you want to play that game again. It's a fun game. No, nothing wrong with it. It's fun that they keep adding games to those apps, and they've talked about a new Mario Kart virtual game. Basically, you're going to be playing on your Switch, but you're going to be making a track in your house, so it looks like something for the kids mostly. Not sure about that one, but it's, I guess, it shows promise. And they've also shown a Mario Brothers like versus kind of game where you're going to be playing against like 35 other players, and that one is another weird limited release. So the game will only be available for people who have an online subscription, which makes sense because you need to play online for that one, but it's going to be available for limited time. And the way they made it sound was that even if you buy the game, you can't buy it, it's free game for those with the service, that after a while you won't be able to play it anymore. So
yeah,
I'm not sure what's going on there with that one, but yeah, that's pretty much it for the news from Nintendo actually. On the Pokemon side, like I've talked before, I said that I think there's a third DLC pack that's going to be announced soon, probably for release in February, and it looks like it has leaked. So I'm very happy about that. I hope it's right. I hope it's not one of those false leaks. Like, there are a ton of Pokemon false leaks, but I would really love a third DLC in February to hold me over for the year until next year's release, whatever it will be, which should be announced. Usually they announce their new games, they have a big Pokemon event in February, close to Pokemon Day, and they announce all the year's releases, so we'll see. So that's about it for some news. If you have anything else, I might want to talk a bit about my unboxing video, which was just released today. Jared actually bought me games I didn't own.
I know, shocking.
Shocking, fantastic, like really well done. And both games I did not really know existed before. Like, that's Genesis Collection, I had an idea, was it, because I saw it on your live feed, and then I checked and I saw that you also had Bubble Bobble there way down, but I've never actually noticed it before. Because I would have, because the only clue in that one was the friends thing. Yep. But the last clue, the washing the hard to reach places, would have given away if I knew this game existed, because bubble bat, you know, makes sense.
Exactly.
But I was like I said, my error was like assuming that you listened to me when I talk, and if you did, you would know that I'm a big Harvest Moon Story of Seasons fan, and that one was the only title I knew in the entire Switch library that had the word friends in it. And it turns out there's another one, which is Bubble for Friends, but I did not know that one existed. So that was a nice surprise. I've actually played it with my sons, and they got tired of it quickly. Elliot finds it too hard, which I don't understand him, because like I told you in a text, he plays Super Meat Boy, and he's better than me at the game. But Bubble for him, too hard. Doesn't make any sense at all, but... they don't have much patience at that age for some reason, which is weird, because when I was that age, like, my parents wouldn't play video games. Like, they played video games with me for a bit, but not that long. Like, when I was five, like he is now, I don't think they play video games with me anymore. So I had to figure stuff out by myself, and he has me. So as soon as he has an obstacle in something, he always, like, gives me the remote or ask him for ask me for help. So I think it's gonna be interesting to see what games he plays when he grows up, because I don't think he's gonna be like me and be a bit more like patient or give a game.
That's
a
hilarious. That is so funny, because for those that don't know, Steven has no patience at all. Anyways,
not anymore. So. Not anymore. That's true. Like, I'm surprised. Like with Nexomon, like I really thought I would just give up on this game, because
me too.
Now who has the time these days to mess around with something you don't enjoy? But I was glad I did. And that Genesis collection, like, I'm gonna see. I want to try that Shining in the Darkness thing.
Yeah. So okay, let me give you some background here. Okay, so for Bubble Bobble, that was actually a European exclusive. And so I had the import, because I love Bubble Bobble. Bubble Bobble's like, it's a great arcade game. Just pick up and play. I've enjoyed that literally since the arcades. And when I found out, when I was looking for something for you, I was like, okay, well, what's something that you could play with the kids that they might like, that's simple, but not, you know, not crazy. So that's why I find it hilarious that you're like, oh, it's too difficult. That's hilarious. But when I found out that it was actually released in North America, after all, I was like, oh, okay, fantastic. So pick that one up. And that, I think, is the best clue I've ever written you. Yeah. I don't think I'll ever top that.
Yeah.
Like, so that's never going to happen again. So don't get used to that. I'll go back to buying you stuff you already have. But for the Genesis thing, so the story with that was, because I'm doing Saturn Day videos, right? I need an easy way to capture footage for other like games. So like for those that watched my Burning Rangers review, what I did was I showed Nights into Dreams, right? Simple. Nothing, you know, nothing too fancy. But I figured right away, I was like, okay, well, if I want to talk a little bit about, say, like, Sonic Software Planning, who would become Camelot. So, like, let's say I want to do a review for Shining the Holy Ark, just as an example. Well, if I want to do that, I would ideally want to talk a little bit about the developer, or I might want to talk about Shining in the Darkness, which is essentially the prequel, even though I don't think they are. Like, I don't think Camelot developed Shining in the Darkness. I might be wrong. I'd have to look it up. But anyways, the point was I purchased that game purposely so that I would have easy access to a bunch of different Sega Genesis titles so that I could capture some footage and use that in those Saturn Day videos should the need arise. And I figured it was cheap enough, it wasn't too expensive, that I was like, it's good to have access to. And I found it was very serendipitous that you spoke of this, like, the last time we had a podcast and we were talking about the Genesis and Super Nintendo, and we were both saying that, you know, we were both primarily Super Nintendo fans, and I was like, yeah, well, the thing was, like, Genesis did have some really good games for a specific period of time there, and I was like, I'd love to introduce you to some of these. And what's so nice with the with the collection is that there is a rewind and fast forward feature. So Shining in the Darkness, if I were to review that game today, it's broken. It's always been broken, sort of like the original Dragon Quest. So if you ever play the original Dragon Quest, it's a broken game by today's standard in a lot of ways, where you basically have, like, you do one fight, you have to go back and heal, you know, type of thing. Like a slime can basically wreck your face, like the original I'm talking. And so it required tons of grinding. If you remove the grinding from Dragon Quest 1, you can basically finish the game probably in 20 minutes. Like, the only length of time in that game is the fact that you have to grind, or you're just going to get eradicated. Well, Shining in the Darkness was very much a game in the same school. So at first, you're basically doing like two battles, going back to town and healing. Then another like three battles, going back and healing. And you're just constantly doing this for about, like, no joke, maybe 5 hours. Something like that in the original game. Once you do that and you can start to afford better gear and you start to get your party members and so on, then you're all set. But with this fast forward feature, you could spend like 40 minutes, okay, maybe not even, of just grinding. So just literally walking backwards and forwards in a hallway. But because you're holding the fast forward button, it's so fast, it's unbelievable. And you just keep holding the A button. You don't even have to press, just hold it. And it will automatically do all the fighting and everything. And you'll level up in no time to be able to buy gear in order to actually play the game. And I love that. So while I always enjoyed Shining in the Darkness, I forgot just how grindy it was. And what I love about this collection is it completely removes that. So what's awesome about that is that holds true for the Phantasy Star games. It holds true for the Shining Force games. Like anything that you may have found a little grindy before, or that was a little sluggish in certain areas, you can now just hold the fast forward button and away you go. So I really like that. And there are some really good games on that collection that I thought, like, okay, maybe I can introduce you to some of these.
No, that's cool. Like, I just need to step down and find a time to try it one of these evenings and play through it, like play at least a bit and see if I like it. Like, it's just a matter of taking the time to do that. But yeah, there's fun stuff. Like, you got me when one of the games, the other one, the clue was really easy to figure out, especially since I've just talked about that. But the first one, yeah, totally got me, because it's a game I did not know existed. So that's a pretty easy way to get me.
Well, that's good. That's awesome. All right, perfect. So do you have any other little comments you want to make?
No. I'm glad we were actually doing these on a regular basis now, and hopefully we can continue this process.
Yep. Well, that's it. All right, everyone. Well, take care, and we'll be back soon with another podcast. Take care, everyone.